So I'm happy to be here and to be practicing with you all. Feeling delighted. And today I wanted to talk a little bit more about sympathetic joy or appreciative joy. This idea of being happy when other people are happy. And I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that this is like the most difficult of the heart practices to develop. That often people, when they see other people are happy, they don't automatically become happy. Maybe they feel a little bit, well, there's probably a whole range of things that they feel, but gee, why does that person get to have this? Or maybe it also turns into, well, me, why didn't I do what they did so that I can have whatever happiness that they are currently experiencing? Or maybe we feel like, yeah, they're happy, but they didn't do it the way that I think it should be done, and therefore it doesn't count, or something like that. So this isn't the case all the time, but sometimes there might be some of this, a little bit of this texture of something that's not just happiness for other people's happiness. And I think probably everybody knows, that's everybody who's in this happy hour knows, that we can train the mind. It's quite remarkable. We can train the mind and the heart. And there's so many different ways we can do this. And of course, one way is with meditation. And so this heartfeltness this happiness and joy that arises when we see somebody else having joy becomes more accessible if we train the mind. So we can train, we can incline the mind, so it just becomes easier and easier. And then it starts to arise not only when we see joy in other people, but just in simple things in our life. And who doesn't want to have some more happiness and joy or gladness, delight? So, and not only that, the mind and the heart, the body, learns to access inner happiness or inner gladness, delight, joy, completely independent of what's happening outside, what's happening in our environment, but to discover and appreciate what's happening inside as well. And Susan just put in the chat box that she had an episode of Mudita that cheered her up. Yes, right? It can do this. So, of course, I mean, that is valuable by itself, to have access to more joy and happiness, gladness, delight. But also, when there's a little more happiness, then the mind and the body is easier to get settled. It's easier to kind of relax into a sense of ease. I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. And then when there's a certain amount of ease, it's easier to get focused. It's easier to kind of like settle down in the mind. And when the mind is focused, it becomes even a little bit more trainable, so to speak. And so then if we're noticing the joy or the well-being, it becomes easier to notice more. So this becomes a virtuous cycle of meditation practice and sympathetic joy. We can see how they support one another. So Brené Brown, some of you know, she's a psychologist. I'm not exactly sure. She has written a number of best-selling books. And she has said that joy is the most terrifying emotion that people experience. The most terrifying. And she said that part of why this is if we look closely, we start to, when we're appreciating the good things that are happening, all of a sudden we start to fear that something bad is going to happen. Like there's something good, and then the next beat is like, oh, I know something bad is going to happen. And there can be some version of I don't want to soften during this moment of joy. I don't want to soften into this happiness and really experience it because I'm afraid it's going to be taken away. And I can't bear that, or I don't want to feel that. So another reason why we can train and practice and explore intentionally this idea of sympathetic joy. So with that as an introduction, let's do some practice. So taking an alert, upright posture. And just arriving into this moment, this location. And feeling what it feels like at this moment. Feeling the sensations in the body, a relaxed, easy way. Feeling the sensations of breathing. The movement of the body with the breath. The feeling of air in the nose. And when the mind wanders, we don't have to make it a problem. We don't have to kick ourselves or anything like that. We just very simply begin again. You might notice, is there some ease or my sense of settledness or sense of appreciation? Okay, I did it. I came to meditate today. And allowing yourself to feel into that. The purpose of meditation is not just to feel good all the time. But to notice when there is some pleasant sensations that are supported, to allow them to support us. And then we'll do a little bit of loving kindness practice. So bringing to mind a lovable being. Someone for whom it's easy and complicated to feel warmth, care, respect, tenderness, goodwill. And to feel into that connection, what does it feel like to have this connection, either with somebody you know, maybe somebody you don't have a relationship, you only know about, or maybe kittens, puppies, babies. And then to support our cultivation of loving kindness, to maybe let the embers of the glow, let them be warm. We can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to feel in the body, in the heart, in the mind, the sense of care, warmth, goodwill. For this lovable being. now to support our cultivating appreciative joy, sympathetic joy, mudita, might imagine that this lovable being has some good fortune. Something in which cause they have delight or happiness or joy. Maybe they've received some good news about something that they were worried about. Maybe they had a meal, shared a meal with someone, and it was delightful, satisfying. And they felt really appreciative. Maybe they stepped out of their home or workplace and heard a chorus of birds singing. It caused a little bit of delight. So maybe you know something specific that this lovable being has experienced, or maybe you might imagine some scenarios they've likely experienced. And for this phrase, the one I'm about to offer is a little bit clunky, but somehow I kind of like it. But you're welcome to modify it. One that maybe resonates with you more. So imagining that your lovable being being happy, you can say a phrase, may your happiness and good fortune continue. May your happiness and good fortune continue. And feeling into how the love, the goodwill, the care we were cultivating, there might be a slight shift with this, or maybe it's an obvious shift with being happy that they're happy and wishing that their happiness continues. May your happiness and good fortune continue. May your happiness and good fortune continue. Now we might imagine somebody that we don't know, somebody we don't have a relationship with. Might be somebody on this Zoom call, somebody you periodically see in the neighborhood. We can imagine that this person also has moments of ease or happiness, joy, gladness, delight. Can we be happy that somebody we don't even know is happy? Bringing to mind this individual as best you can. May your happiness and good fortune continue. May your happiness and good fortune continue. Might be a little more difficult, take a little bit more effort to have sympathetic joy for somebody we don't know. But just think how the world would be if we were happy with other people's happiness. It's worth a little bit more effort without straining. And if it feels dried up and not available, you can go back to sympathetic joy for the lovable being. Or you could just stay with the dryness. Maybe it's okay that it's dry and flat. That's okay. Just bringing the mind back to this intention, whether we feel this goodwill and sympathetic joy or not, but to bring the mind back is really powerful. May your happiness and good fortune continue. may your happiness and good fortune continue. In a relaxed, easy way, you might notice if there is some hesitation, reluctance to opening up to feeling happiness, joy, gladness. That's okay. You can just notice and respect and honor. That's what's happening right now. But maybe repeating the phrase, may your happiness and good fortune continue, without forcing it, but with a certain amount of commitment to this practice right now. And it might be that sympathetic joy slides into gratitude in some ways. Sympathetic joy for the happinesses we have in our own lives. It can be helpful and supportive to appreciate, not in a Pollyannish way. We're not denying difficulties. We're just acknowledging that there also are some things that we can appreciate. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground, and the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. This idea of being happy when other people are happy also really helps us to see our relationship to happiness. And it can be really helpful to acknowledge that the mind can be trained so that we're becoming a little more sensitive and easier to acknowledge and experience. And just to provide a little bit of balance for all the negativity that we often are experiencing or seeing, or in the media, of course, right? That's their business model, is to show us the negativity of the conflict. So not to deny that those things exist, but also to provide a little bit of a balance and something else that other than that. So it can be helpful to talk about this or to share this kind of this idea with others. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you'll have this opportunity to talk about sympathetic joy and how is it to cultivate this, to experience it, to even talk about it with others, and how that is for you. And maybe even just how that last meditation session was. So you'll be in groups of three or four, and we'll meet for maybe 14 minutes. So you have a chance to talk to one another. I'm just cleaning up here a little bit the rooms. And then sometimes there's a little bit awkward, like who's going to go first? And so if it's helpful, you can go by the first digit of your house number. If you live in 100 Main Street, number one, you go first. So, and there's no need to share everything and your whole life story, of course, but maybe just share one little point and then allow it to go to another person and then go to another person and then comes back around, as opposed to a number of long monologues. Okay, great. Have fun. Yes, so welcome back. Does anybody have a question or a comment, something they'd like to share, or maybe a question? What is it like to go into these small breakout groups? I know a lot of people leave, right? They feel like, oh, I don't want to do that. But is there something you want to share about why you stay and why you do them?
It was just wonderful. I mean, just, you know, finding things, finding words, expression. Very, very, very fine.
Thank you, Kathleen. Yeah, sometimes words feel awkward and yeah. But maybe some of you have words. You don't have to. I'm not going to pressure anybody, but I'm just, if you'd like.
Well, I always like the breakout rooms, right? You know, if I look at all the conversations I have all day, you know, none of them are as genuine, as open, as intimate, intimate in some way at least, as what happens in those breakout rooms. Right there, yeah.
They're, yeah.
this class is, you know, one of the highlights of my day, and the breakout rooms are one of the highlights of this class. Thank you all.
Thank you, Neil. It's a beautiful thing, right, that human beings can come together and really support one another, even if they don't know each other. It's really fantastic. Thank you, Neil. Levi. I'm calling you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Levy or Levi. How do I pronounce your name?
It's Levi, but I get both a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I get a little bit nervous for the breakout rooms, but I always kind of feel better after I talk to people, so I stay for them. But I just wanted to say today's was really nice because we were kind of all able to connect over the lovable being a pet or an animal that we'd known, and kind of just how easy it is for them to find simple joys in life and then to share in those.
Nice. That's very nice. Pets, that's right. They often seem satisfied. And even if there is a little bit of a conflict, then the conflict ends. And right. And they don't carry it with them, seemingly. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Levi. Raj.
Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to share that. Yeah. With the breakout rooms, I sometimes get a bit of like social anxiety, but I've always found them so, so helpful. Just to learn from different perspectives really enriches my practice, and just to learn and realize that we're all kind of on shared journeys. It really, it just really inspires my practice. So I'm always glad that I stay. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I used to be one of those people too, that when we would like meet in person and there was breakout groups or small group discussions, I would be like looking for the door. And one of my friends was like, no, Diana, you have to stay. It's really great. And just with a little bit of pressure from my friend, I stayed and discovered, in fact, it is really great. And it's really nice to connect with others. But now I'm always, right? I'm making you guys do it. And I do it myself too in other settings. So we have 1 minute or so if anybody has something they'd like to say, or. Okay. So with a warm wish for all of you to have some happiness that you can share with others, or maybe you see others that have them and that you might share in theirs, so that you might find some gladness, joy, delight, happiness. And maybe we'll unmute ourselves and say goodbye. So bye-bye and thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good